Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Conversation Ex Nihilo. This is Billy. Thank you for joining us. If you joined us last week, you heard my interview with the comic book artist known as Nostretep, as I am now pronouncing it. And it was a great interview. We did get into a little bit of a debate, however, about whether or not the X-Men villain Magneto is in fact Jewish. I know he survived in a concentration camp. I argued that this doesn't necessarily make him Jewish. Nostretep said that it did, and in order to prove his point, he submitted to me some, well, rather convincing sketches of Magneto's circumcision. But still, I have to say, guys, the jury is still out, right? The verdict isn't in completely on this. I'll have to post the sketches. You'll have to see for yourself. But if you have evidence of your own you'd like to submit, weigh in on this debate, please send it to me, billy@convoexnilo.com. And let's settle this once and for all. Why is it important? I guess I'm not really sure, but it would definitely help me sleep a little bit better at night. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you a little bit about my favorite TV show of all time. My favorite TV show of all time, it's a show called The Newsroom. It's a Canadian TV show. It's not the one with Jeff Daniels that was popular here on HBO. But this one came out in the mid-90s, and it came to us in America via PBS. Me, my brother, and father would watch it on Saturday nights. It was a tremendous comfort to us at the end of the week. On Saturday nights, we only had a few precious hours left before we'd have to go to church on Sunday morning. And so The Newsroom was really a place of comfort for the three of us. Growing up, I watched a lot of Gary Shandling. I was a huge Gary Shandling fan. I watched his first show, It's Gary Shandling's Show, later The Larry Sanders Show, both groundbreaking series. The Larry Sanders Show is notably most groundbreaking for being one of those single-camera, no-laugh-track kind of shows, right? Didn't bother to tell you when to laugh. You had to kind of figure it out for yourself. And now everybody does that, right? Modern Family does that. I don't know. I think that show is called Superstore, the one about Walmart or something like that. I just see it all the time now, right? Everybody does it. But back then in the 90s, it was really, really bold because everybody was used to being told when to laugh. So imagine just having to rely on the sheer subtlety of your wit if you are a comedian or an actor on a comedy in the 90s and you were on one of those shows. You had to be good. And I think The Newsroom was damn good. And in fact, it was the best show I think I've ever seen. And it still stands up today. It was a biting, biting satirical analysis of the 24-hour news channel, right? And it's Canadian in every bit of it. But I think it translated very well to America as well. It smacks of critique on CNN. I don't think MSNBC was around back then. I don't know if it really matters, but you get what I'm talking about. The characters on the show were a lot like the characters on Seinfeld, very narcissistic, very self-obsessed, that kind of stuff. But the writing was just so clever. One of my favorite characters on the show, and I'm not just saying this because he's on my show, but one of my favorite characters on the show was the character Jeremy, played by the Canadian stand-up comedian Jeremy Hotz. Jeremy played one of the producers on the show, also named Jeremy. And he was, I guess you could call it like the George Costanza to show creator Ken Finkelman's Jerry Seinfeld. You needed him on this show. You couldn't imagine the show without him, even though we had to deal without him. He left after the first season, was replaced by the actress Karen Hines, who was fantastic. If you have to replace somebody, she was a tremendous choice. But still, something was missing when Jeremy left. Thankfully, he came back to do the special. Then he came back a few years later when they brought the show back in the early 2000s to do a couple episodes. The guy is hilarious. Like, he just is. If you don't know who he is, click on my links to his YouTube stand-up videos. The guy is great. And also, he's great just for doing my show. You know, he didn't have to do this. And I'm really grateful that he came on to do this. I hope she doesn't mind, but I really want to give a shout out to his manager, Jody Lieberman, for helping to set this up. I hope this episode isn't too inside for you guys. I really try not to get too gushy over The Newsroom because I know a lot of my American friends haven't seen this show. And if you haven't, do yourself a favor and you got to see it. You got to go out and see it. It still stands up. It is still relevant today, probably more so now than it was even in the 90s. The references are still great. References to OJ. I mean, like, OJ is still in the news, or at least was recently when he was released from prison. It's still great. So do yourself a favor. Track down the newsroom. Watch some of Jeremy's stand-up. And keep listening, you know? So thanks again. Let's turn it over and hear what Mr. Hotz has to say. Let's go, watch it, bro. We've got a lot of bottles and it's not but gross. Hey, yo, here we go. We've got a body, but it's why we look so dope. We're the stuff that feels everywhere we go. We can get a kiss. Yeah, cool.
I thought this was like on TV again, but it isn't.
Yeah. I mean, it could be if you wanted it.
I stayed up late and I was working on shit, and then I just, you know, when this COVID thing, I have very little. I don't really stick to any time schedule, so I miss stuff.
Same, yeah. So what are you doing now? Are you doing like Zoom stand up?
No, I got a show on once a week. Well, it isn't now once a week because it got really popular, so we pulled it to once every 2 weeks now. So we took it back a week. And now we just do it once every 2 weeks because A, it's a lot of work, and B, it's better that way. And now that happens, and now I'm writing. Oh, I've written a couple of shows already. So
fantastic, man!
Yeah, I'm not just sitting here. I can't. You know.
Are you out mixing with people?
I just talked to. Well, you know, America's fucking up, like being the losers of the world with this fucking thing. You know what I mean? I'm so disappointed with our country. I mean, are you kidding me? Like my country where I come from, like they dealt with it. It's just up there. I mean, good Lord, how could you just be so irresponsible? I don't understand it. Do you? I mean, you're a kid. How do you feel?
Pretty awful about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought we were supposed to be the greatest country in the world. Apparently not. Apparently it's just all talk. So there you go, huh? That's what I learned from this COVID thing. I mean, when there's less cases in Switzerland, I mean, Jesus Christ, you're losing to Swiss. You're losing to the Swiss.
Losing to the Swiss. The neutral.
All they ever do is perfect the pocket knife. That's all they've ever done.
Yeah, something with cuckoo clocks too, I think.
Mm-hmm. That was the Germans.
yeah.
It wasn't even the Swiss. I think they stole that. Oh, they make that. Don't they make that bar for Swiss Chalet, that chocolate bar?
Is that Toblerone?
Yeah, you got it. I couldn't remember the name of the thing. You had it right away.
Toblerone, so, Jeremy,
the bar that almost tastes like chocolate.
Yeah, what the hell is in it anyway?
I don't know. It's shaped stupid. I use it to keep doors wedged open.
Oh, man. Dude, I really wanted to ask you a couple of things about the newsroom, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it was on that.
Yeah, you sure as hell were, man. Like, that was a huge part of my growing up, man. That has informed almost all of my comedy. I mean, I was 14 years old when it first came out.
Oh, it's one of the childhood things that you latched onto that molded your life and all that shit.
It is, man.
Wow.
It really is.
Wow.
Do you get that a lot about that show?
Yeah, it was a very culty show where if you were a fan of it, you still are, and you never forgot it, and you think it was the greatest show ever put on television. Yes.
Yeah.
I have that. Yes. Yeah.
You've heard the line before.
Do I understand that? No.
Really?
Not really. No.
Why?
No.
Why not?
Because I was never a Star Trek fan, so I don't understand. I don't understand that kind of adoration for a television show. That's what it is. I never liked Star Trek. I watched it. I called it Star Trek for the longest time. I didn't even know. You know what I mean? I didn't even care.
No, I do know what you mean, and I guess I don't. You know, I don't dress like the characters in Newsroom or go to conventions or anything, but as a comedian,
crazy. Yeah,
I've based a lot of my comedy, my style, my sensibility, what I think is funny is from that show.
Really? Because you were at the age and you went, that's what I think is funny. And then you just, you formed your thing.
Absolutely.
I don't know where I got it. You were a huge part of that. I must have got mine from the Benny Hill show.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I used to watch that with my great-grandfather.
How did you see that? Did you grow up in Canada?
No, I grew up here in the United States, and it was on PBS. Like, late at night, late Saturday nights.
You grew up with your grandpa, and he watched PBS, so you saw actually the best, the better shows. PBS bought the culturally clever shows. And Benny
so
Hill.
Like I used to watch it with my dad, and he was obsessed with Red Green, another Canadian show, right?
Red Green. That old man that lived
the
in
old
the
man.
Cabin.
That's it, yeah. It's an awful show. It's an awful show. But I would sit
through
it. I never
saw that show, but I remember Red Green. He was an actor who did plays. Did you know that?
No, yeah. I didn't.
Yeah, I forget. What's his name? I forget. Anyway,
is it Rick Green or something? Yeah.
Something Rick Green and his wife did it. He did. They did a two-man show, him and his wife, a comedy show. Yes.
Oh, man.
He was like a what do you call it? Improvisational comedian.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, let me ask you that. I'd sit through that garbage just so that I could watch Newsroom, you know. It was the highlight of my week at the time.
Where did you see the Red Green show?
Also PBS.
They bought it?
They did, yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah. It must have been dirt cheap. That's why, right? No, seriously.
Yeah.
Come on, that's not for PBS. That's a dumb man show.
Have to donate money, right? We have to give to their pledge drive if we wanted to keep seeing that stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's TV that didn't do commercials.
Right, right.
But instead, they did days in a row of no shows, and the guy going, please give us money. What's worse?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's terrible. That's a commercial, too.
It is, know? Yeah. You get a tote bag and an umbrella if you give enough.
Yeah, they give you a bag.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember that. And then the guy would beg for money.
Right.
And then the woman would beg for money so they could get everybody. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that was weird.
What was your relationship like with Ken Finkelman?
Ken? He laughed hysterically at me. Are you kidding me? Ken thought I was hilarious. Oh, fuck yeah. No, Ken, because I don't know what it was. I think Ken saw in himself, he saw him as a child, which is unfortunate to me because I was 28 at the time. But he saw me as a small boy, and he could not understand some of the things that came out of my mouth, which eventually ended up in the script. That's the way the Newsroom worked. You just talked and you kind of got the lines and they just shot it. And then the show happened. That's the way it worked. Ken wrote the story, but the actual individual words and the way they were described, he never leaned on the actors to really stick to the script. Once, if you got the information out, move on.
Yeah.
So that's why it had that real kind of realistic feel to it. Half the time people didn't know their fucking lines.
Was it heavily scripted? Did he really expect you guys to stick close to it? Did he get upset if you jumped off?
No, not Kenny. Oh, no. No, no, no. There was a lady there making sure for continuity that we covered everything. And if it was covered, it moved on. Oh, yeah. Ken was really ahead of his time that way.
For sure.
You know, I mean, remember, this is before this has been really... He did a show called Married Life that I was in before. Did you ever see that?
No, but I've been trying to find it. It's hard to find here.
Dude, get that. First of all, I'm in it, and so is the other character, Mark Farrell. That's how we did. The next thing Ken did was the Newsroom about a year later. I didn't even read for the Newsroom.
I was going to ask you that. Really?
No. I did Married Life, and that got all this notice. And then it was just given to me. And the reason why I'm not in six of the first season is because I got a movie.
Was that Speed 2?
Yes. And CBC had not told me if I was still on the series after the first six. No, they didn't renegotiate yet. And then Speed 2 came along and I took it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they got mad at me.
Who are they?
The network.
Really? Because because you left Newsroom?
I didn't leave. I didn't know it was coming back. I didn't know if it was coming back if I was on it. We contacted them. They had no information. I took the movie.
So what happened was
they did like 12. They did the other six without me because I had to go to do the movie for.
And that's when they brought in Karen, right?
Yes, and I did the picture for 6 months. I was gone.
6 months? You worked on Speed 2?
Mm-hmm. Living on a boat on the water for a while. And
with
then
Sandra Bullock? And Jason Patrick. With Sandra Bullock?
Shit. When we had to live on the boat, that was shit. Anyway, and then I came, they did a 13th episode.
The special, when they ran Jim.
Yeah, and the movie was over, and they ran that, and it was a double header, a two-parter, I think. That's what won me the Gemini Award.
It was that the special? That
13th episode, yeah. So they brought me back for that one after Speed 2. And I think that was the last of that cast, wasn't it? That one, right?
I think so. Well, no. You came back. Remember, you came back a little bit later.
Yeah, I came back for a few episodes.
Which was great.
Yeah, in...
Yeah.
Later, some other... version of the show.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. Which honestly, I gotta, I'm not just buttering you up here, man, but like that, it wasn't the greatest part of the Newsroom was that's until you came back and it was hilarious. Like, Jeremy's back. Like this was so, for me and my brother, and my friends, it was like so exciting to see you back.
But the writer part was important for our version of the Newsroom. We had those meetings and the writer thing was really important. To be honest with you, man, I never watched the other ones.
Really?
I didn't watch the other series. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. So I never knew what happened. But I know that they got a new Mark and a new Jeremy, right?
They did. That's what I didn't like. I didn't like those guys as much as you and Mark. Well,
it's hard because it's like, you know, whenever they change characters and you're a fan of the show, it's always weird. Like when I was a kid, they changed... characters on me a couple of times. Bewitched,
you know? Yeah. I grew up on that with my grandparents.
I like the first guy.
Really? I like the second guy. I guess I just saw him more. Yeah.
So you see, it's who you see more and who you like. James Bond, okay. Who's your favorite guy?
Who's your favorite Connery. Bond? Gotta be Connery.
Yeah, well, me too. Not everybody says that. I have friends that go, I like Roger Moore.
I've heard that a lot because he did it the most, right?
I think
he did.
Nobody ever says George Lazenby.
Never. Most people don't know he did it. Yeah.
He did. And he was okay in it. He got a bad rap, that guy. I don't know.
Remember Timothy Dalton? He did it once.
He did it more than once.
Or twice, maybe.
Dalton was, and do you like the Craig guy? The guy that does it now? Yeah, so do I. I think he's good.
Yeah,
I don't think he'll ever get to be, he's my favorite. Young kids 14 that are 14 now. Yeah, he will. Of course he will. That's what James Bond is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to make him a woman now.
It should be Jason Statham. Yeah, that's the next Bond as far as I'm concerned.
The guy from Fast and Furious?
Why not?
I loved him. You know what my nickname for him is? Remarkably bald.
Man, I love that.
I think that should be his acting name and co-starring Remarkably Bald. He really is. He's not just bald. He's fundamentally bald.
For sure. And hyper-organized, I think, is what he calls him.
He's very Eastwood-y with his...
He is. I love that. Yeah.
What do you think of Scott Eastwood, Clint Eastwood's son?
I've never seen him do anything.
Okay, it's coming.
Yeah.
I bet you they try to make him... a Clint Eastwood type, like a tough guy.
Can we still have those? Are we still allowed to have those? Those anti-hero type guys anymore?
It's a really good question. You mean the vigilante? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I guess. Womanizing vigilante, you know.
I don't know if you're going to ever see, you know, another Death Wish. No, I'd really, you know, the world's got a, hey, buddy, the world's got a bit of a stink to it, huh?
Yeah, but, definitely. You know,
everybody has rights, and that's just the way it is. You know, you gotta understand it. You know, I'm for it. I mean, especially the stuff that's been going on in our business. Jesus Christ, lately, my God, huh? We're getting torched. So, but I don't know. It seems like in bad times, they seem to lean on comics because we have freedom of speech. Is that what it's about?
Heavily, heavily. Yeah. More than anyone else.
Yeah. You can't stop that. Why are they trying to say things, certain things are appropriate and certain things you can't say? What is that?
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe it's in our puritanical DNA, you know, going back to the 1600s. We're a persecuting type of people.
But our whole thing when we grew up was that we aren't going to do that. Like, we're not, that's what you don't do. I mean,
yeah.
And now I don't get it.
Well, let's walk that back a little bit. So you were born in South Africa, right?
I was.
How long did you spend there?
A year.
Oh, okay.
I was one and told my parents I don't agree with this apartheid. That's what happened. I was one.
So then you grew up in Toronto?
Ottawa.
Ottawa.
Yeah, Ottawa, the capital of the whole damn bullshit I grew up in. And then it was like when I grew up, it was a town. Like, it sure, they called it a city, but it was Canada, man. Like, dude, I mean, they had those kind of roads that would end and then it would be dirt for a while. You know, when they just pave a road and then they just went, all right, that's far enough. Let's just fucking give up. And they just stopped. We had some of those because they hadn't gotten there yet. So, yeah, there was only about, I think the sign said when I was a kid, Ottawa, 350,000 people.
Wow.
And that was the capital of the country.
No kidding. Yeah.
And then the other, I don't know, they never had a real big plan for the capital because when I became famous in Canada, I played a whole bunch of theaters and stuff all across the country, still do. And they were thinking of Kingston or Ottawa to be the capital of Canada way back in the day, because some guy told me. And Kingston decided that they would prefer to have the penitentiary. I don't know. Yeah, that's the story. That's the story.
So then, how old were you when you first started doing stand-up?
Oh, 20?
Okay. 20? Yeah.
20?
Who are your guys? Who are the guys you looked up to?
George Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him live. My brother took me to the National Arts Center in Ottawa, and I saw George Carlin live. And I said, one day I'm going to do that, and I'm going to be on this fucking stage doing it, you know? So I did that. I should have thought bigger. I don't know. So that was cool. And, you know, my brother reminded me of that story. He said, you know what, man, when I took you and you were like 14, you reminded me, and I kind of remember, but you know, when you don't remember your own shit, but other people do.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. I do.
It was one of those. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man.
Did you say hi? You did.
And so you started doing stand up with like Norm, right?
Norm was slightly ahead of me. Chris Finn was Finn was at the same time. We came up almost at the exact same time. Another guy named Roberto Blizzard. That's about it. Here's what happened to me. There was no stand-up in Ottawa, but I heard about this Yuck Yucks thing. So I thought of a few things that I could talk about. And then I took a bus to Toronto, to the Yuck Yucks. There was a Yuck Yucks in Canada on Bay Street in Toronto. And that was the only place that they were doing stand-up that I knew of. That was it. And I took the bus, and then the bus station was on the same street. It was also on Bay Street. And you could actually, from the Greyhound bus station, you could walk to Yuck Yucks. So what I would do is, I got on the bus. My plan was to get on the bus, go to Yuck Yucks, do the show, get back on the bus, and go home. So I did that, and it was going to be tight because I'd never done an amateur night before or a show. So the fuckers put me on last, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was screwing up because the last bus left at a certain time, right? Yeah. So I do the show and I'm last, and I destroyed. I have nothing to say. Like I was on that very end and I killed, and the owner, Mark Breslin, was standing at the back of the club because I guess at that point in time, he had no life. So he was just watching the amateur show, right? Mm-hmm. And he came up to me and I was running to get the bus and he grabbed my arm and I went, "What?" And he goes, "I'm Mark Breslin. I own the club. Did you want to start doing this professionally?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah." And he said, "Okay, call the club on Monday, next Monday, and ask for me." And I went, "All right." And I'm running down the hall away from the guy. I'm running down this. There was a little sort of, it looked like a dugout in a baseball thing. And you had to run up the stairs to get out of the club and back onto the street. And I'm running away from the man who's trying to give me a career. I mean, that's the story of me. Against all odds, I somehow got there. Yeah. 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 It's really weird. I really seem to be fully against my advancement in this business.
So you didn't have like an eye for LA. I got to be in LA. I got to do the America thing.
Yes. I wanted to do that. Did I ever want to do Letterman or Leno? Mm-hmm. Not as a stand-up. No.
No.
I wanted to, you know, maybe get on a show, preferably a drama, because I knew I could act from the newsroom, right? So I wanted that opportunity here. And I felt that stand-up would be a good way to get people to see me. What I didn't know was that if you're really good as a stand-up, well, then you're a stand-up. And that's how they view you. So here's something that you should know. You know, the work that I did on the newsroom and all that stuff for the CBC, they've never asked me to be in another television show again.
I was going to ask you about that. Like, what happened with that?
What happened?
Yeah.
That's Canada.
Well, so I don't know if you can speak to this.
The people, all the fans that I have in Canada, that follow me, you know, I'm like the Grateful Dead that way. They are never there to, no, they're not, they love it. They love me and that's it. And I understand it. And that's the way you want it to be. But that's the fans. The people who work in Canadian television, they don't even know.
That's kind of what I wanted to ask.
It's different there. They don't know. They don't care. They don't have to. Yeah. They don't care.
So
the country never really gets to see what's going on. However, the beauty of it is you get to a point as a performer. Well, I don't need them anymore.
Right.
They can't. So that then the whole thing changes because all you got to do is, you know, all you got to do is go, "Hey, I'm doing a show." And then people come.
Yeah.
So then what did you need the show, the TV for at that point? Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
But it's such a. So for Americans, I'd say, you know, it's shows like, I would compare it to Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry Sanders Show.
Sanders Show, yeah. It had a bit of, it really had a lot of Larry Sanders in it.
That's what I understand from some of the extras. Some of the extra interviews.
Yeah, it did. It did. It had. It, He'll never admit this to you. I loved Ken's acting. He'll say, too. I'm a shitty actor all the time. He always says that. Finkelman can make a thing happen. Finkelman, I'm telling you, Finkelman not only could get laughs, he could make you feel sorry for him.
That's an interesting way to put it.
It's not easy when you're an undesirable character. Like
he absolutely. That was
really absolutely. Hard stuff. He did. Ken can act.
Let me throw this out at you. So I watched this thing where Gary Shandling talked about Larry Sanders' show. And he said that center to the show was that every character was searching for love, right? And I totally agree with him. And I think that even the Larry character, the most aloof of them all, was searching for love.
Well, because in his real life, the fucking guy had incredible relationship difficulties.
Exactly, yeah. But Newsroom, I would argue, nobody's searching for love. So no. I wanted to say, what were you guys searching for, character-wise? Well,
it really had a Canadian thing to it, where you saw the difference there, right? Where Americans kind of bring their life into the office.
Yeah.
Canadians, the job, I thought it was a more clever show because you had to figure out what was going on in their life through the way they acted around with the different things that were going on in the office. You could tell what kind of character they were.
I agree. I completely agree. To me, it's still my number one favorite show. It's above Seinfeld in my book.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you something about Seinfeld. You know, it failed in one country only.
Huh.
Guess which one?
Which one?
Germany.
No way. I'll tell you. No, that's not true. I used to live in Ukraine. It didn't do very well over there either.
Where?
In Ukraine.
Oh, God. It was in the Ukraine?
No, that's not really... well, it is, but they just don't get it. They do not get it.
It's the sense of humor. It's that sense of humor. They probably think, why is everyone being mean to everybody? Yeah, it's that whole thing.
It's weird, but Ukrainians are dicks to each other. So you think they would love that? Like meanest people.
They're probably dicks in a different kind of way, though. You know what I mean? There's different ways to be an asshole. That's why there so many people are assholes.
You're right. Because they love friends. Like, they love friends. So it's like they got that humor, but they just couldn't latch on to Seinfeld.
Oh, Seinfeld to me was a way better show than Friends.
Oh, way better. But I do find that people tend to like one or the other.
Friends is, can I be honest with you?
Yeah, please.
I never got past how good looking everyone was and therefore how unrealistic that show was. Honestly.
No. So how could people that good looking be so funny? I just couldn't get into it.
Because they're not.
Because they're
all in stand-up, and I'm proving it to you right now. I did a joke about that. My last DVD, there's not one down here. Shit. There's not one down here or I could show you what I did. I totally mocked that whole thing on the cover, you know? I don't have one down here, right?
No.
No, I don't. Shit, I don't. Yes, I do.
I love that. Yes, I saw that one. Yes. Dangerously Handsome. It's beautiful.
And I did that. That was my nephew was taking, I needed a new, 8x10 and we were just fucking around. Right. So, but also I was doing the tour, right. Coming up and I didn't have the poster for the tour yet. And he said, he just sent that with the other photos because it was the worst one that he took. And I went, that's the one.
That's beautiful. That's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still comedy at the end of the day. Everyone seems to forget that. Comedy is an extremely, you know what? Comedy's fun, but the business is really serious. It's, you know.
Has it always been that way? Is it worse now?
Yes, it has. Because it's about money, right? So it's, people are really desperate when it comes to, I guess, when you don't have enough, right? I'm the guy that if you have enough money, you're okay.
Me too, yeah.
I mean, dude, seriously, how much do you need? I mean, I live in this house that I bought here in West Hollywood. There's a couple of rooms I don't go into. I'm good into them. Yeah. You know what? Sometimes I go, geez, I haven't been into the guest room for a while. I better walk around in it for a while. You know? My money's worth out of that room.
Right.
It's just you don't. You really don't need. You know, when you go, I'm going to get a big house with a pool. And a thing. I don't want that. You know, as long as I have enough money for a place for me to sleep and a cleaning lady, I'm
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
So I'm guessing from that, never married, no kids?
I was married for well over a year. And in that time, I decided it wasn't for me. That's all. She was a wonderful girl. It's just you get married, and then the person stares at you. That's a little hard to take.
It is.
Yeah. Every day, same person. You know what I mean, right?
For sure. Yeah. I never got married, but I can imagine. Yeah.
Dude. I can't stand my dog every day.
So the Gemini Award, that is the equivalent of the Emmy, right?
It is.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. How many doors did that open for you?
Well, just the one that I used it to prop the fucking door open with, because it doesn't nothing. I mean, you know, the award's nothing. I mean, it didn't do anything, because everything that I brought to CBC after that, every show and stuff like that, and other networks, Bell Media as well, they just said no, you know, over and over again, pretending I was no one. Yeah. That's what they did. They think I don't know.
It's good embarrassing. God, man.
But in America, it's okay. Like, everything's, you know, here, they're really nice to me, the networks and stuff. So I don't get it.
Have you gotten anything picked up here?
I hope to, briefly, you know, soon, you know, knock on wood if I had a wooden table, but I don't, it's glass.
Shit.
Anything
you want to talk about? You're like that you're working
on? My show on Sundays, it seems to be every second Sunday now that we do a Facebook Live show that has become extremely popular in a very short period of time.
Nice.
It's called, we don't have a name for it, but we call it Jeremy Hunt's Live. And, it's a lot different than everybody else's thing, because we actually are doing a show for about 30 minutes every two Sundays, and it's doing really well. You should tune in and see it.
I will, for sure.
You know, I think you'll like it. It's crazy.
Yeah, man. Do you talk to Ken at all anymore?
No, I haven't spoken to Ken in a long time, but I do talk to Farrell, who played Mark. And
he's going to be on the show.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He's a great guy, and I talked to Tanya Allen, who played
Audrey,
and Peter. I did it Just for Laughs a couple of years ago, and Peter was on it, so I was with him. And who else? That's pretty much the whole cast of the originals. Yeah.
So when I got asked this too, when you came back to the show, it was written into the storyline where either George begged you to come back or you begged him to come back. Uh-huh. Was that reflective of something that was going on between you and Ken?
No. Ken said, hot. Yeah. We're going to do one more. And I'm like, okay. He goes, are you coming? And I went, yeah, I'll do it. And he goes, okay. They'll call you. Okay. Bye. That was the conversation.
That was that, huh? Oh, yeah.
Ken was just, you know. And he'd go to Farrell first. He'd go, Farrell, you think Hotz will do it? You think we can get Hotz back for the last one? I don't know, Ken, call him. That's the way that it was. I mean, like, you know, I mean, we had so much fun on that show. Like, one time, he got it so much shit, Mark, one time. We were, because we were kids, we didn't know what we were doing. So our dressing room, everyone hung out with it. I shared a dressing room with Mark, but it had a huge bathroom hooked up. So we're sitting there in the dressing room side, and then there's a door to the bathroom, and there's like three stalls, because I don't know why. Anyway, so we're sitting there, and then this guy just that we don't know just walks out of the bathroom. And then we walk into the bathroom, and he's pitched a loaf in there, and it so it reeks. So Farrell goes nuts, and he goes, who's this stranger coming in stinking of our, like, he was furious at the thing. Like, we lived there or something. Yeah. And I'm like, shut up, man. It's not that bad. And he's like, no, I'm going to fucking barf. And there's like a, you know, they have the spray can to take the stink out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like one of those. So there's one of those on the counter. So I pick it up. And he keeps going on about how it stinks. So I spray it at him on his face. So then he gets, and then I throw it on the counter, and he picks it up, and he starts chasing me with the can. And I go out the door down the hall of the CDC, right? Because we're not in the scene and we're shooting the show. And a red coat security guard comes around the corner with a tour of the shows that they're doing on at CDC. And he's chasing me with the stink deodorizer going, "Fuck you, Hotz, I will kill you." And then the next day I get to the studio, and right near our dressing room door, there's a pay window, and it's the lady that pays the people every 2 weeks. They line up there. She yells out the window, "You tell your friend he has a filthy mouth." I get to the door, and there's a sign that says, "Tours pass by here. Watch your language."
Oh, man, that's great.
Yeah. The newsroom.
So what the fuck? How about a reunion then?
Of what?
The newsroom.
I don't know. Is Ken walk still?
Good question.
How old is he?
74, I think.
Holy shit. Ken 74?
Yeah. According to Wikipedia. Yeah.
When was the last time you saw him?
I mean, years ago in an interview, probably about 10 years ago.
I wonder if he's got like jet white hair and he looks like a fucking Q-tip. You know what
he's
I mean?
He's got to. Yeah. Yeah. I kind of wonder that myself.
I remember seeing this thing. It really made me laugh. If they just make you look old with white hair. I remember seeing, like, there was a cover of the National Enquirer like years ago when I was a kid. And there's a picture of Hitler on the front. And it says, "Hitler found," except he's got all white hair and he's still got the mustache and it's white.
I remember that. Oh my God, I remember that cover. Yeah, I sure as hell do. Yeah. As if he would keep the same haircut and mustache.
I'm going into hiding, but I'm going to look exactly the same.
Exactly.
In a duty choir.
So one of the major themes of the show, if you can't tell already, is nostalgia, right? Like that's one of the biggest themes that I talk about with guests.
Oh, okay. Shit in the past?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. What role does it play in your life? I'm looking behind you there. And I can see like it's got to play some kind of role for you, right?
What does?
Nostalgia.
I watch. I collect posters from like the worst movies pretty much ever made.
Yeah.
That started after I did Speed 2. I don't know what the connection is. Anyway, so that's what I do. That's what I do. And so I collect, people think it's like the Plan 9s from outer space. And no, that's not what I collect.
It's too good.
Let me explain to you what it is. It's the real, honestly, the worst films ever made. So there was a time in history where they were making movies that were called softcore movies. Mm-hmm. And they would show breasts and asses, but they wouldn't show insertion of any sort in any kind of movie. You know what I mean? No sex. So they made a whole bunch, but violence was okay. Are you going with me? So what they did was they made a whole bunch of cheap movies that were incredibly violent and there was nudity in them. And what they tried to do was actually, even though these were essentially porn film actors, they tried to make a story and a movie out of it. Those are the worst movies ever made by a mile. Those are way worse than Plan 9. I mean, stuff happens in those movies where you just look at and you go, that is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Absolutely. Yeah. I have the Sinful Dwarf poster. There's like not very many of those left in the world. The Lustful Turk. Some of these titles are amazing. What else?
I love Traitor, the Lustful Turk.
Traitor Horny.
But you don't actually watch the movies. You just collect the posters?
Yeah, the posters are better than the
movies. Way better. Yeah, who has time for those?
Well, the movies are stomach-turning, but...
Unwatchable.
The posters have art. You know, you talked about nostalgia. The artwork.
Yeah.
The artwork is very valuable on these things now. So
what does that activate to you? Does that take... Because, like, again, so I hear the music of Newsroom. It takes me back to I'm 14 years old. When you look at these posters, where does it take you to?
That's my childhood. That's seeing Tales from the Crypt when I was, six and getting the shit scared out of me. The original movie, Tales from the Crypt. So shit like that.
Yeah.
You know? I remember. You watch it today. I'll tell you something about Tales from the Crypt. You watch it today and you've never seen it before. The original movie from 1972, the Hammer film, it's still scary. They got that one right. That was, you know.
That's not the one. Is that the one that John Landis did?
No, that's, this is, I don't know. Was it Hammer Films? They did these movies.
Oh, yeah, the British company, right?
The British ones. It was a compilation movie. Yeah.
I guess I never saw that one.
No, I have that poster too, but I don't hang it up because it's kind of rare.
Yeah. So, I always ask this question with a lot of friends too about the difference between British and American humor. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between Canadian and American humor?
Oh, Canadian humor is a mix of American and British humor together. That's why we have such a success worldwide. We take the British, I think, because we were influenced by both, right, growing up. So we take the British thing and we Americanize it to make it more understandable, because we just happen to live in proximity of the United States, and therefore it's its own unique style. I don't believe that no one else has said that before, but it's the truth.
I could see that. Were you the funniest kid in school?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, hands down.
Well, it was the only way to talk to the girls, right? When you got a big nose, that's how you do it.
I had the same problem, but little ears.
Yeah. That's what we have to do. That's why ugly people are funnier than pretty people. We just figured it out. That's the reason.
Exactly.
We don't just get the women when we show up in a room. You know what? In my life, in a bar, no strange woman that I don't know has ever bought me a drink. And yet I've seen it happen to some of my good looking friends. Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's uncool. It is. Not fair.
So it sounds to me, if I can recap a little bit, some of the creative aspirations you've had that have been turned down by Canadian broadcasting, but you still have these creative ambitions. Are you doing things on your own? I mean, with the cheapest things, are you shooting?
And that's the next thing. And I also have a large network of friends here. So the projects go out to different connections of mine. You see what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
So I've never had this many that I've completed at the same time because of the amount of time that I've had. I don't have to do stand-up right now. So I can sit here, like, as soon as I'm finished with you, I'm walking over there into a writing meeting right away, right over there. And we're continuing on a script. And then I'm always doing something, or else, dude, I would kill myself. I can't do this anymore.
Right.
I can't not do anything all day. Fuck.
Right. Are you itching to get back on stage? Or are you enjoying some of the downtime?
No, I'm not enjoying the downtime. Okay. I have generalized anxiety disorder. I don't enjoy downtime. I'd rather be having something to do. I get quite anxious when there's nothing going on, which is like right now. But again, I'm keeping stuff busy and doing other things. I never thought that I would have to. I never thought some guy would turn off the switch on my job. I've learned that I'm a bit more of an adapter than I thought I was. I can't do anything else. You get it, right? It's comedy. Yeah. I've never really had a job, man.
You're lucky. It's awful.
Dinner theater, and I worked in a parking lot for a couple of weeks. We're done. That's about it.
Did you ever want to be a dramatic actor?
Yeah, but the nose turns it to comedy right away. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get this. I would never get this fixed, because that's so disrespectful to your parents. I would never do that. No, I'm going to keep it. And when I'm on TV, you're just going to have to look at it.
Oh, man. Dude, you were right about that Q-tip thing, by the way. That was brilliant.
Hilarious.
I love it.
Because he has that tight, curly hair that never falls out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the lucky bastard.
You know what? I'll tell you a funny story about Ken. Really Please. Funny. So we had a PA on the show, and he was like a native Canadian, you know? And he was watching Ken's dressing room. And he kind of, that was his job to, you know, kind of guard Ken, sort of thing. So this is going on. It's a new thing that week. And this, you know, this guy's doing this and the CBC wants a guy keeping an eye on Ken. So they have this guy, and then it's winter and 3 days go by. It took 3 days. I'm surprised it took that long for Ken, but he goes, "Hots, come here." And I go, "What?" And I walk into the bathroom, and the toilet in the bathroom for his dressing room, the seat is up, and on the ring around the toilet, there's one black feather. And he looks at me and he goes, "Hots, do you think the security guard, because he's Native Canadian, do you think he put a feather there because it's some kind of curse thing?" And I look up, and his down jacket is hanging over the toilet on a hook. And I go, "I think it worked its way out of the jacket, Ken." And I left. He really thought. I mean, he really.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's, you know, every now and then you would go, "Wow, I'm on this great show, da 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 da." And then you talk to Ken and you go, "But the guy running it is fucking nuts." I mean, Jesus.
Oh shit, man. Well, so yeah. Like all the Fellini references and stuff like that, when he would get really deep into the, you know, the artistic side of
it. We just said Ken goes mental on that.
Yeah. Did you? Yeah. Okay.
That's what we did. "Hey, Hot, you're in a big white room, and whatever you do, you can't, just don't step over there. Don't step over there or else everything turns blue." "Okay, Ken, what do I do?" "Walk to that guy with the one eye." "All right, Ken." You never ask Ken what your motivation for the scene was, ever. No. He would go, "You speak the lines." "Okay."
So, and I also got asked you, like, how big of a role was food in that show? You know, everybody's eating all the time. Yeah. You notice? I've never seen that in a show before.
Yeah, I always had some, first six episodes, I always had something to eat. Yeah, I don't know why.
Seriously. Like, and it continued on, even with the ones you didn't watch. Like, it was so central to the show, people eating out of styrofoam to-go boxes, talking about food, ordering food. It was such a big deal.
Yeah, I guess he's a thing about it. I guess he's a foodie. I don't know.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And cars. Okay.
What about the episode with Cronenberg? Did you get any FaceTime with old David Cronenberg?
I did.
Yeah.
Oh no! That was Adam Egoyan is the one. No. Yeah, he did. He did one too. Did you not know that?
Which one did he do? Who? Adam Egoyan. Yeah. Who is Adam? Who the hell is Adam Egoyan?
Oh, he's another director guy like that.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in it like Cronenberg. He's another extremely famous.
Which one was he on Newsroom?
He played himself in an episode.
I'm a movie guy. I'm embarrassed to say I don't remember him on that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's kind of a big deal, like as far as Canadian direct, like Cronenberg. He was Cronenberg and then was famous like that. Yeah.
I guess his fame never crossed over here the way Cronenberg's did.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, I never knew his name.
Oh, I don't really know everything. I don't know what movies he did, but some of them are famous. Okay.
Okay.
I don't remember, but he did it. And Ken used to use like famous news personalities and stuff on the show.
Those people, like, because I also went to school for journalism, so some of those names.
Oh, you knew them then? We didn't.
People really?
Would show up? No. They would show up, but it would be the real person. That was cool that he did that.
And it was really cool that they did that, that they kind of did some of that stuff.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. When we won the award at the that show that we won the award for the best show and the best everything, we all won awards. the two famous newscasters came out. So we kind of knew we were going to win. They were the presenters. They brought in the newscaster from a couple of different of the networks and they gave the award to us. So we kind of knew we were going to win when they walked out. Ken, I remember him leaning over when he saw that they were newscasters, went, "Oh, boss, we won this." And I still said, "No way, Ken." And we did.
What made you think you wouldn't?
Because this hour has 22 minutes, had won for the last 40 years in a row.
Ah, okay.
Of Canada, they like consistency.
Sure. Sure. What did you think about the kind of, well, the criticism that implicit in the show about media? Has any, I mean, I think it's gotten much worse.
It is way worse. I think Ken was ahead of his time. He did a great
very
job
much so.
With, with that show, and it's gotten even worse than his wildest dreams. I mean, there's an element of the news in Married Life as well. You should watch what he does there. He totally, yeah.
Ken, I gotta find that show. I can't find it.
That's so weird. Ken does. He really trashes the media. That's his thing.
So it was personal for him.
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. You know.
Did you exercise any of that, any personal animus through that show, through your character?
Yeah, I went and did Speed 2. Yeah, I did. You know, that's what I exercised. You got to get a contract with a guy or else he goes and does something else. That's what I exercised. Man. Yeah, well, you got him, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
We tried. We did everything we could. And then I came back and did the thing for them. Come on. I'm a good guy.
You are, man. And as we wrap this up, like looking back, any big regrets?
Oh, yeah. I really, really should have owned a pet store. I really wanted to do that. I did.
You're serious?
Just a pet shop, yeah. I wanted to have all the animals, and then that's what I wanted to do. But it's impractical, you know? I think I've done much better holding a microphone, standing in front of people, eloquently swearing.
cheaper too, man. Yeah.
It is.
Jeremy, thank you so much for doing this, man. I really appreciate
it. Oh, no problem. It was a lot of fun. Amazing things, yeah. It's not a problem, Manino.